It's hard to think about that this is already the beginning of a new year. Here we are in January. It seems like time just kind of goes too quick for us sometimes. But this morning we're going to be talking about our hope for the new year, and our scripture text is going to be from Romans chapter 15 this morning. Now you think about the new year, and if you've been listening to the radio or TV or read the papers, one of the things they do this week is they often rehash the old year. And we go back to all the different things that have happened, and even they've even gone over the whole decade. Especially this is true in sports. I don't know if I always get up and read sports page first, and then I get over to the other kind of news. But you go through and you think about the things that happened in the past. This week, or not this week, in the next few weeks, our president will give us a State of a Nation address to Congress, and our governor will go the State of the State, and they'll go back and talk about the things that are going on with our nation and our state. And sometimes it's good for us as people to go back and think about your life, and go back and think about the way you've lived this year, and think about, are you growing in the Lord? Are you more spiritual now than you were a year ago? And what are the things we need to do in our lives? I came upon an article, and he had three different things to think about. The first one was, what do I need to do more? You know, what do I need to do more this year than I've done last year? The second one he said is, what else should I be doing? Are there things in my life that sort of holes in my life? Or should I be doing things that I'm not doing now? And the last one, and I think maybe the most important, do I accept feedback? In other words, do I listen to other people? Do I allow people to talk to me? Colin Powell once said, the day soldiers stop bringing you their problems, you know you have stopped leading them. And basically the idea is, do you listen to people? Can people talk to you? Often people want to talk to you, they don't necessarily want you to solve their problems. They just want someone to talk to. And sometimes we don't listen. We just want to jump in and solve every problem and not listen and not even think about ourselves. This morning I'd like for us not to think about so much what's in the past, but what's in the future. How do we meet the new year and become the kind of people that we should be? Often this time of year, we think about New Year's resolutions. And one of the jokes is, you know, how long are they going to be? Are you going to keep your New Year's resolutions through January? And we think about, we realize we don't keep our very long. You think about the ones that you started with last year. Did you keep your New Year's resolutions through the whole year? We think about the different things. And sometimes we think about dieting this year or the kind of food that maybe we're going to give up junk food this year. We think about maybe our finances. Maybe this is the year we're not just going to buy things on a whim, or stand in the grocery line and we see a candy bar there, or we see a magazine and we buy things we don't need all the time. And we think about, maybe this is the year we're going to keep our finances in a little better order. Or this is the year I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, or I'm going to walk a mile. And we come up with all these New Year's resolutions, and too often we fall short. Maybe we think about our spiritual life, and we think about, this is the year I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. This is the year I'm truly going to set aside a time every day to pray to the Lord. This is the year I'm really going to grow spiritually like I've thought about in the past. But so often we fall short. Why? That's what we'll be looking at this morning. A lot of the reasons we fall short is our lives don't have the discipline or the self-control that we should have. We talk about raising our children up in the Lord and teaching them discipline and self-control in their lives. But so often we don't teach ourselves those very same principles. Look over in Proverbs 13:24. I'm going to read out of the NLT version because it's a little easier to understand. It says, if you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them. If you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them. Now you think about that with our children, but that can actually be applied to our own lives as well. If we don't discipline ourselves, basically we're showing we don't love ourselves. And often that goes into then how we treat other people. We don't honor and respect other people because everything's about me. And we become selfish and we forget about holding that honor and respect, which is a key to the way we live as Christians. Proverbs 19:18 is very similar.
He says, discipline your children while there is hope. If you don't, you are ruining their lives. And I think you can see that even in our lives. If we don't have self-control in our life, then our own lives can be ruined and will be. So we need to teach this to our children, and we need to teach it to ourselves. And it needs to be a way that we are. Well, how do we do that? How do we really teach ourselves self-control and the discipline that we need to have? If you look over to the Hebrews chapter 12, you can take a look, and we're going to use the example of Jesus throughout our lesson today. But in Hebrews chapter 12, listen to what the Hebrew writer says about Jesus. Look at verse 2. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Have you ever thought about how Christ got through the cross? How did he endure such a thing as the cross and he knew was coming? He did it because he knew what was on the other side, for the joy that was there, for the hope of the future. And it's that hope of the future that should help give us the endurance that we need and that start giving us the self-control in our lives. We've got to take a look at more at the example that Christ gives to us. If someone would ask you, what is the theme of the book of Romans, what would you say? Often we say, well, salvation or justification by faith. It's the great book about faith and how we're right before God because of our faith. But what does that really mean to us as a people? What does that mean to you? How do you really apply that in your life? Chapters 12 through 15 of Romans really go through the application of what it should mean to you. And what he brings out is two basic points. One is that you should grow as an individual because you're right before God, not because you have to do all this stuff, because we've got to lay up so many good works that it overcomes all the bad. That's not the way that we're saved. We're saved because of our faith in Christ. And that sets us free from all the guilt and sin and all of our past life so that we can serve the Lord. And so we can grow as an individual. But it's even more than that, is we can grow as a people. Because we've been saved by faith and not according to what we've done ourselves, we're all the same. Whether or not we're the corporate vice president or whether we're the janitor, whether we're rich or poor, young or old, or male or female, it doesn't matter. We're all the same before the Lord. Because our standing before the Lord comes because of Christ and because of what He's done. In chapter 15, Paul brings us all together to show us now what that really should mean in our lives and how we can use this, hopefully, to face the new year and the future so that we can become the people that we really should be. Peace on earth, goodwill to men is one of the phrases we hear this time of year. Think about what that means. That means that we need to be in harmony with each other. How do we achieve that? If you look through Romans 15, I think you can see how we can achieve it. Look to Romans 15 and verse 7. Let me pick our scripture reading today. He says, accept one another then, as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ had become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs and to the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. Now that sentence may not be the easiest to understand in the way the NIV words it, but what he's saying is, Christ became a servant because of God's truths, because of two things. One, to show His faithfulness to the Jews, to Israel, and two, to show His mercy to all the nations. Now the key is, Christ became a servant. You see, one of the things that keeps us from doing the things we need to do in the future to really hold our New Year's resolution is that everything's about me. We think about too much about me. Everything's got to revolve around me. And so we don't honor other people. We become selfish. We think about the past. We know how much we failed in the past. So we go into the future knowing, well, I'm not going to make changes in my life because I wasn't able to in the past. We think about the guilt that we have, and we hold that guilt in, and we think, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not able, I'm not strong enough, because everything revolves around me. And even the values of the world, we place too much value on the things that the world does. How much stuff I have, and what the newest car I have, or the iPod, or whatever it is, all this stuff I'm able to have, And that's who I am. And so everything's about me. When we start looking at Christ, it says Christ became a servant. You see, Christ started his very life here on this earth as a servant looking to other people. And when we start fixing our eyes on Christ and looking at his example, then we can start seeing how we can truly grow into the future. What hope that gives us for the future because of Christ. Why did Christ become a servant? Look over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. A verse we looked at last week when we looked at the incarnation of Christ. But if you look at Philippians, Paul says these words about Jesus. And too often, we look at maybe the whole thing without looking at the very beginning. Look at the very beginning. He says, who, this is Philippians 2, 6, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. Christ came to this earth to serve and to be a servant. What does that transform to us? Well, Paul starts it with two things. He says it was because of God's truth that he did, to confirm his faithfulness to Israel and to confirm his mercy to all the nations. And that really brings us all together. It's a faithfulness to Israel, and that faithfulness we can trust in as he's going to go down, and that gives us a hope for the future because God has always been faithful to his people. But he's always shown mercy to the whole world. And that mercy also brings us together in Christ. Paul gives us four basic scriptures to confirm this, and he goes back and shows how this is God's plan, and he goes back to the very beginning or into the Psalms. Look at the first ones in Psalms 18. You've got a Bible, turn over to 18. One of the things that Paul does, and Christ does this too when he's quoted in the New Testament, they'll quote a verse, and they're not saying just look at that one little verse. They're looking at that passage from which that verse is the key. And that's what Paul does in his four quotations. Look over to Psalms 18. And he quotes from verse 50, but I'm going to go back to verse 46 of Psalms 18. This is, of course, a psalm of David. He said, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues the nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalt me from my foes. From violent men you rescue me. Therefore I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. See, he's not singing praises just to God's people, but to the whole world, to all the nations. And that's all four of the quotations. In Deuteronomy 32, we have Deuteronomy was a book written right before Israel goes into the promised land that really to war with all these nations. In Deuteronomy 32, he says, rejoice, O nations, together with God's people. In Psalms 117, he says, all of the nations come to the Lord because of his faithfulness to all. And then he gets to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Again, it's the same idea, but he brings it maybe four-fourths in Isaiah. One of the things that the prophets do, and often we have in the New Testament, especially books like Revelation, is that the writer will actually paint a picture for you. And it's in that picture that you can see what he wants you to understand. And so it's a very visual image that he'll give you. And that's what he does in Isaiah. And the passage he gives us in Isaiah, Paul says, is fulfilled right now in Jesus Christ. So it's not like we have to look to the end of time, as some will take this passage, because we know it was fulfilled when Paul quotes from it. Because he says, this is to fulfill the Word of God. And listen to what he says in Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to go back and read the whole section, and look at the picture that comes to your mind as I read this. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and the young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near a hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor be destroyed on the holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, The root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Of course, the root of Jesse always refers to the Messiah, and all the nations come to him. Now, what's the picture you get from this? You see all these wild animals coming together and playing together, basically. And the little kid takes a cobra and plays with it. What's the picture you get? How can all these wild animals come together in harmony? And what do they represent? Well, if you go through, what he ends with is all the nations will come under the banner of the Messiah. In other words, we have all these nations that have always been at war with each other, just like the wild animals that are always at war with each other. And they're coming together. What he's saying is all the nations of the world will come together in peace under the banner of the Christ. That's what he's saying. And that's what Paul says has now been fulfilled even on Jesus. When Jesus shows his mercy to the nations, to all the world, that they can all come together in peace. Just like the picture that Isaiah paints of all these wild animals coming together and living together in peace. He's not saying that the wild animals actually will become tamed animals. That would be basically a new way to live if a lion doesn't live as a lion anymore. But using it as a picture of the nations. How the nations basically attack and tear each other apart and devour each other like animals. But now you're going to have peace under the banner of the root of Jesse or under the banner of Christ. And so in Romans 15, Paul says, God has shown us his mercy to bring us together, to give us peace on earth, so that we can truly be his people. And so we can start coming together. Now look down at the next verse. This is the verse really that hopefully will bring it all together for us. Look at verse 13 in Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What gives us the endurance? What gives us the ability to have self-control, to move on into the future? It's hope. That's how Jesus endured the cross, because he knew what was on the other side, but the joy that was set before him. He knew the salvation of all mankind was at the other side of the cross. And so too with us. We have a hope for the future. If you depend upon yourself, and if everything is just me, you don't go very far. Your New Year's resolutions fall flat. But as soon as you start thinking about the servanthood of Christ and basing your life on being a servant, as Christ did, and looking to the hope for the future, then you can have the control of your life. And your life can truly be changed by the very power of the Holy Spirit, as he talks about here in Romans 13. Too often, we dwell in the past. And we think about how we failed in the past, and I can't go on to the future. Hope is always looking forward. Look over to Philippians again. Look at chapter 3. And one of the most powerful passages that Paul gives to us is in Philippians chapter 3. And listen to what he says about our futures. Look at Philippians 3:10. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. What's Paul saying? He says, my whole life, I want to know heaven. I want to know the power of God so that I will one day be in that resurrection and go to heaven. That's what Paul's saying. But now listen to what he says on down. Not that I've already attained all of this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards a goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. Paul didn't let his failures last year keep him from progressing this year. He put the past behind him. And too often we don't do that. We hold on to the past and we think about the things where I put this resolution but I wasn't able to do it last year. Why can't I do it this year? And we let the past stop us from becoming the people that we should be. But if we truly have hope for the future, if we truly think about our God giving us the endurance and perseverance, then we can become the kind of people that we need to become. But back to Romans 15. I'm going to read the very beginning of this chapter, because I think in some ways it brings into focus the idea of hope for the future and the kind of God that we serve. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. We who are strong are to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Again, the idea of being servants to one another. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through this hope and endurance that we receive from the Lord. He's the God of endurance, the God of encouragement, the God of looking forward to the future. And so by looking forward to the future, we can truly become the kind of people that we can be this year. Think about your new year. Think about the resolutions that you can make. Think about your own life, the things you need to add to your life, the things that you need to be doing more of, the fact that you need to be listening to those around you. Think about the way that you can grow spiritually in the Lord and that kind of hope that you can have for the future. And it's based upon your God. It's a God of endurance and encouragement. And most of all, He's a God of hope. And that leads us to the future that we can have in our Lord. Think about the power of the Holy Spirit, because it dwells within us to help make us the kind of people that we should be. And I think this all starts at the very beginning of our reading, when we think about Jesus came to serve. You see, when we move away from the idea that everything has to be about me, and think about becoming a servant as Christ was, Christ came to serve. And it's by serving that He proved or brought forth the very truth of God, by being a servant. And so each one of us, when we follow after Christ, need to think about the servanthood of our Lord and our Savior. And it depends on the faithfulness of our God. As we go through our lives, sometimes things don't work out the way we want. And we fall back. And we need to be strengthened and encouragement. And Paul says the Scriptures were written to give you that encouragement. Go back when you're having a weak day and read the story of Abraham or Moses or Hezekiah or David or some of the other great men of the Bible. And it will give you encouragement, because you'll see the faithfulness of God with these men. That everything didn't work out easy for them. That they had hard times in their lives, and sometimes they couldn't even see how they were going to get to the future. But God was with them, and He was faithful. And by going back and spending time in the Scriptures, it can give you that kind of foundation so that you too can go in the future. And that we can truly have a hope for tomorrow, as these men did. And we can persevere and become the kind of people that God wants us to be. Think about the new year, and think about being a servant and not just being a me this year, because that's the way that we can start becoming like Christ. Christ came to serve. If we're going to fix our eyes on Him, if we're going to be Christians, which means we're going to be like Him, we have to learn to become servants to one another. And then once we do that, then we can start growing in the Lord, because we have that hope for the future. And we can endure and have the perseverance we need to get us through sometimes, which are not always easy times. This morning, think about your Lord. If you've not become a Christian, if you've not really put Him on, why not put Him on today in baptism? Uniting yourself, as Paul says, into His death, so that you can be united in His resurrection. Because that is the goal that we all should strive for, is the resurrection, to be with our Lord eternally. If you've been with Him, but you really haven't been faithful, your life has been more around me than around being a servant, why not rededicate yourself right now, this day, and become the kind of person that the Lord calls you to be, and to truly walk with your Savior and start living as Jesus lived? We talk about doing what Jesus did. That means fixing our eyes on Him and becoming a servant and looking towards the way that He lived His life. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come? Let's gather, we stand and sing.